who sends the investor class diving for their tax shelters. Rick Smith.
The rich pay too much taxes. The poor get way too much. Instead of schools, build prisons and lock the children up. We won't believe those lies again, because God is a Republican.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Questions, comments, something on your mind, you can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. So today kicks off week two of the Poor People's Campaign, a national call for moral revival. And all across the country, there are going to be events and teach-ins and acts of civil disobedience and opportunities to educate, inform, and, well, pull us back to some semblance of sanity. Back to some values where we care about our neighbors and our friends and our coworkers and all of that stuff. Just good stuff. And look for an event in your neighborhood. So on Friday, the farm bill, which was a great, I got to be honest, very happy it went down in flames. The House reconvenes today. Going to be interesting to see where this goes. And here to give us some thoughts on just how bad the farm bill was and maybe what we can expect in the coming days, I've asked Rebecca Vallis to come talk with us. She's president of the Poverty to Prosperity Program at the Center for American Progress. Rebecca, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me back, Rick.
So, I got to be honest, I was quite thrilled that it went down, even if it was because the Tea Party caucus didn't think it was bad enough. It still went down.
No, that's right. And I have to say, people who know me know that if Paul Ryan is in a bad mood, generally that means I'm in a good mood. So I'm sharing your glee that this piece of legislation, which would have taken food assistance away from 2 million Americans, possibly more, went down in flames on the House floor last week. But Rick, I have to say, a big part of the story here that's not being told, you mentioned that in part the legislation was defeated because super conservative members of the Republican caucus, the House Freedom Caucus, ended up actually saying that they had problems with the bill. So it wasn't like it was just about moderates defecting. But, you know, I think that a piece of the story here that really is missing from most media coverage of why the farm bill was defeated was actually that Democrats voted in lockstep against the bill. We didn't see a single Democrat vote for this piece of legislation. And now that might not seem unusual in this moment of resistance where we're seeing hyper-partisanship in Washington, Republicans all vote, or Democrats all voting, I should say, against a Republican bill, but it's actually wildly unusual in the course of a farm bill, which is a traditionally bipartisan piece of legislation, to not see a single Democrat vote for it. So the reason that we saw this bill go down was not just because of House Freedom Caucus opposition, but also because Republicans didn't have any space at all to lose their members of their caucus in voting for this bill because of unified Democratic opposition, because the provisions in the bill that would effectively dismantle the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, better known as food stamps, as we know it, are so cruel that they couldn't countenance supporting the bill. So to me, that's a big part of the story that's been missing in coverage of this bill, and it's a huge part of why we saw it go down in flames last week.
Now, so the one side of it, as you pointed out, you got all the Democrats who did stick together, and good on them. And I think a lot of that has to do with people calling and emailing and faxing and you know tweeting and all of that, texting their representatives and saying, hey, we're against this. And the other part of it, I think, is you've got a lame duck speaker who is, I think he's actually counting down the days until he can get out.
No, that's exactly right. We saw tremendous outcry from people who, after watching Republicans try to take away their health care for the better part of last year and now into this year. In fact, actually, we saw yet another zombie effort to repeal the Affordable Care Act and roll back Medicaid expansion rear its head last week at the same time that House Republicans were trying madly to scramble to find the votes that they needed to pass this farm bill that failed on Friday. We actually saw people saying, look, I get that you've been trying to take away my health care for the last year and a half. Now you're trying to take away my food. You're also trying to take away my housing. That's part of a separate effort that we've seen Republicans lob in recent weeks. We saw people calling. We saw them showing up at rallies in D.C. and communities across the country. We saw them tweeting. We saw thousands of calls driven in just through some of the platforms that the Center for American Progress Action Fund works with. And we saw organizations and advocates from pretty much every corner of the progressive community standing up and saying, this is not the kind of country that we want to live in, where our policymakers, just months after giving massive tax cuts to the wealthy and corporations, are now turning around and saying, you know, a program that provides $1.40 per person per meal, that's just too much for us to be providing to people who are struggling to put food on the table for their families. That's not the kind of country that I want to live in. And so we saw this massive outcry of people saying, hands off SNAP. And that's a big part of why we saw not just unified opposition by Democrats to this heartless piece of legislation, but also opposition from a number of moderate Republicans who realized that maybe not the best thing as we head into the midterms for their voters to realize that they're not just trying to take away their health care, but they're also trying to take away their food.
Yeah, but on any of this, should anyone at this point, and this is where I keep coming back to, any voter at this point who looks at the Republican Party and doesn't think that they want to destroy housing assistance or health care assistance or food assistance or any of those social safety net programs, I don't know how much more you have to see before you wake up to the reality is they've sent this from the beginning. They put people in charge of these institutions who want to destroy them. I mean, what does it take for people to wake up to this?
Well, and I think that we absolutely see people not just awake to this, but rallying in opposition to this in tremendous numbers. And I think that's why we're starting to see Republicans realize how popular these programs are. You know, I think, Rick, it's been conventional wisdom for a long time that Social Security and Medicare are the so-called third rail of American politics. Elected officials and candidates know better than to go near them and to look like they're trying to cut them because they know that the backlash at the polls will be significant. I think what we're starting to see now is Republicans in particular waking up to the fact that it's not just Medicare and Social Security that are tremendously popular and that cutting is hugely unpopular. I think we've seen them now start to realize how popular Medicaid is. They learned the hard way when it was Medicaid that in many ways saved the Affordable Care Act last year and into this year. I think they're starting to realize that the same is true of food stamps, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And, you know, polling that the Center for American Progress has done actually finds that two-thirds of Americans are opposed to cutting food stamps and nutrition assistance, but it's not even just widespread opposition that we're seeing to cutting these programs. It's also that people are less likely to vote for a candidate who supports these kinds of cuts. That's another finding from that same polling. And so I think we're starting to see Republicans realize that the programs they thought were going to be easy to go after are actually a lot more popular than they realized, and that's going to be something to watch in the weeks and months ahead as we head into the midterms.
You know, I get attacked quite often from people who say, well, you're demonizing Republicans. You know, because I often say, look, you know, they literally want to take food out of the mouths of children. They literally want to kick people off the insurance rolls. They literally want to kick people out of houses. I mean, and you look at the policies that they pursue. Is it possible that maybe they just have a different vision? Because, you know, I keep saying, you know, they talk about Christian values and this being a Christian nation. And I go back to, you know, feeding the hungry and, you know, clothing the naked and caring for the sick and giving shelter to the homeless and all of those things. And yet policy wise, they want to undo all of that stuff.
Yeah, it's hard not to agree with what you just said, Rick, when you just look at the basic facts of what's in this farm bill, it would take food assistance away from 2 million Americans, many of whom are children, seniors, people with disabilities, and working people who are working two and three jobs trying to make ends meet, but finding that their wages just aren't enough, and unpredictable schedules, of course, compounding all of this. You know, Rick, we actually saw a study come out last week that to me shows just how heartless and backwards this farm bill is, and the broader Republican agenda to take away health care and food and housing. And that study came out of the United Way. What it found was truly staggering. It was that nearly half of American households don't earn enough to afford basics like food and like housing, nearly half, 43%. And that's mirrored by polling that we've done at CAP, that others have done as well with similar findings, that people in this country, if you're not a millionaire or a billionaire or a wealthy corporation, this economy isn't working for you. And a big part of that story is something that Republicans are really hoping that people forget. And that is that they have refused to raise the minimum wage, which has become a poverty-level wage. It's been stuck at $7.25 for almost a decade, and that is a big part of why we're seeing so many low-wage workers needing to turn to programs like Medicaid and like food stamps to put food on the table and provide for their families. Republicans are hoping that we forget about that because their agenda isn't just about taking away these basics from families who are struggling to pay for tax cuts for the wealthy and corporations. It's also about marching in lockstep in opposition to raising that poverty level minimum wage. And that's a big part of what we're seeing in their rhetoric about why they're cutting these programs. It's this obsession, this laser-focused obsession on what they call, quote-unquote, work requirements, because they're hoping that by blaming the victim, they can distract people from their refusal to make sure that workers in this country earn enough to be able to provide for their families.
What do you say to the person? You know, the Goldwater Institute came out with a study recently, and I don't know if you know much about them. But they came out and said that, you know, anybody who works 40 hours a week isn't in poverty. They claim that because of all the transfer payments, all of the food assistance, all of the housing assistance, all of the earned income tax credits, all of that stuff, that you're actually nowhere near poverty.
Well, there's a lot of sort of magical thinking that goes on the right. You've also got people like Robert Rector over at the Heritage Foundation who denies that poverty even exists in the United States because, oh my God, people have refrigerators. Something
and cell phones.
And cell phones, right? Basic appliances that you need to be part of the modern society, right? I mean, oh my God, the thought that people would be able to refrigerate their food so that they don't suffer foodborne illnesses, right? That means that poverty doesn't exist in the United States because people now have refrigerators. That's the kind of denial that we see on the right of the reality that is facing struggling families in this country. But it's almost similar to climate change denial at this point. I think they're realizing that if the facts aren't on their side, they need to invent their own facts. And unfortunately, that's a lot of what we see when it comes to conversations about poverty in this country.
Yeah. Did you see Rex Tillerson's commencement speech at VMI? I mean, I immediately when you said, you know, your own facts, you know, I was thinking of his really just slapdown of the Trump administration and the whole idea of there being, you know, like universal truths and things that we can agree on. I'm not a Tillerson fan, but I thought the speech was spot on.
No, I think that's right. And, you know, I think we're increasingly seeing people recognizing how dangerous it is to be operating in an environment where you have a president and an administration that is just entirely willing to lie and make up their own facts if the actual facts don't serve their case. And we're watching more and more people get their news from Fox News, from social media, where people sort of operate in these silos and sort of only talk to each other and only get information from certain sources. We've got a segment of this country that actually is believing whatever cover story they're hearing from Trump and from his cronies. It's incredibly dangerous, and it's absolutely operating when it comes to the Republican agenda to take away health care and food and housing and everything else that helps people survive if they're not the millionaires who just got their cuts.
Yeah, it's scary times. Last line of questioning I've got for you. Back to the farm bill. So they voted it down. Where does it go from here? I mean, is there a way to make this better? Or do they just twist enough arms and threaten enough people to ram through the horrible piece that they had last week? Where are you seeing things going?
So there's talk that Paul Ryan may be trying to cobble together the votes to try again with this piece of legislation, even in the face of unified Democratic opposition. He's continuing to talk to the House Freedom Caucus to see if they can strike some kind of a deal. He's continuing to try to woo moderates. This is what we're hearing is happening. So I think we could see, I'm knocking on wood that this doesn't happen, we could see another effort to try to bring this unfortunate and cruel partisan effort to dismantle the SNAP program back up again. But in the meantime, what we're expecting to see is Senate conversations that actually are bipartisan move forward in service of the introduction of a Senate farm bill, which will be sort of the next shoe to drop in this ongoing debate and negotiation. But, you know, I think the thing that to me is particularly striking about sort of this moment that we're in is back to the point I made before. I think we've got increasing numbers of Republicans starting to realize they don't want to be associated with this kind of legislation, which is just as toxic as healthcare repeal was. So I think it's going to be interesting to watch where this heads in the weeks and months ahead, particularly the closer and closer that we get to the midterm. Are we going to see Republicans starting to run away from this bill and tell their voters and their constituents, hey, I actually didn't want to see that, or, you know, lying about what it actually would have done in an effort to try to clean up their records in advance of folks going to the ballot box in just a few months.
And it's something we're most certainly going to have to keep an eye on and remember come November. Rebecca, I appreciate the time. Good stuff. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Rick. Appreciate it.
As always, our good friend Rebecca Vallis. You want to check out their stuff, we'll get a link at thericksmithshow.com of how you can check out her work. Great stuff. Quick break. Right back.
Think of all the roads. Think of all the crossings. Taking steps is easy. Standing still is hard. Remember all their faces. Remember all their voices. Everything is different the second time.